The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
Episode 95, it is the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, the original and now open, the new location. Been open for about a month or so now in Five Points in the old Waffle House building.
All good, too.
Yeah, Chris Brain from the Home Team, David Johnston from the Morning Show. As we are recording this, it is the final day of Southeastern Conference Con in Hoover, Alabama, Georgia. Was up on Tuesday morning, so we'll definitely talk a little Dogs and SEC football. And the Falcons are just a couple days away from starting training camp. They start on Monday, July 22nd. They play that Hall of Fame game, so I guess that's why they got to crank up a little bit earlier than everybody else.
Well, we're recording this on Thursday. 2 weeks from tonight
is that game.
In
fact, the Broncos started training camp yesterday, Wednesday. So,
and the Falcons aren't until Monday.
Yeah. So is Denver going to win that game?
Yes.
That is who they play, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I think.
Well, the Falcons are taking the Allen Iverson approach to this. Practice?
Yeah.
Who needs practice? Like, we're just going to play the game.
That's the Brooks Koepka approach, too, apparently. Like, no, I don't practice unless it's a major. When you see me on TV, that's when I play golf. My love for him just grew with that. The British Open is going on, but
we'll stay away from that topic since we obviously won't know how to finish that one. That'd be great if we did know. We could talk about the winner. I guess Koepka's obviously a good choice for that.
Yeah, as we're recording this, I mean, the first round is half the field's already finished, and you know, the other half is
there. And David Duval shot a 90.
We can report on that.
Yes.
He had a hole where he made a originally it was carded as a 15. I don't know if they showed a mercy because it's officially it went down as a 13, but he made a 13 on a hole to go along with also an 8 and a 7 on two others.
Maybe he couldn't take a 15 on a hole. That would mess his handicap. The highest he could take is a 13.
Right. So maybe an ominous things, too, for Tech heading into their new football season, that Duval, as we're recording this, is dead last in the field by 7 shots over an amateur, too.
Wow.
So, that's nice. I'm going to go ahead, though, I'm going to pick Brooks Koepka to win, though. He is only 2 shots off the lead as we're talking right now.
Doesn't seem like you could go wrong there.
Yeah, so I'll keep sticking with Koepka until something different happens. Although now that I said that, I think he might have dropped. Where is he? Where did he go?
I've got him 2 under through 10.
Oh yeah, there he is. He's still there. All right, good. I'm gonna pick him to win.
Yeah, okay.
All right, SEC Con. It is the final day as we're recording this. You got Vandy, Kentucky, and then War Eagle. They save the Gus Bus to pull into town. For again, Georgia went on Tuesday morning with a contingent of Jake Fromm, Andrew Thomas, and J.R. Reed. And honestly, I think so far the most notable thing for me that's come out of this week is really nothing has substantial has come out of it. I still think the biggest news making event of the whole week has been that future SEC cons will be held in Atlanta and Nashville. Like, where they'll be in the future has kind of been the most noteworthy thing.
Well, the fact that they had it in Atlanta last year showed there was a little nick there in the armor, right?
Yeah.
That it wasn't just going to – because they didn't say anything past, last year and this year. And then all of a sudden they released the news that, oh, by the way, next year it's going to be back in Atlanta. And then the following year it's going to be in Nashville. And I'm sure it'll end up back in Hoover again, but it's not going to be there every year anymore. And to be honest, it's probably better for the SEC if they do have it in Atlanta or in Nashville than over in Birmingham.
Well, it's where they stage their two biggest tournaments. The men's basketball tournament is now mostly permanent home is in Nashville.
Yeah.
I know, they went to St. Louis a couple years ago, and I think they've got a date lined up in Tampa maybe in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But
in those years, the women are in Nashville, right?
Oh, is that?
I think so. Yeah. It's always going to – I think. I may be wrong, but they always are going to have something in
Nashville.
Something
will be in Nashville, yeah. And then, of course, the football game is in Atlanta. Yeah. I know there's been talk, though, of, like, maybe Dallas. I know that's popped up. I can't see that being a real popular choice if the SEC Media Days ever ended up in Dallas. Sankey did say the one in Nashville would have a Nashville kind of, like, centric feel to it. So, I mean, we're going to have, like, country music concerts and stuff.
I think Nashville might be the best city in America for, like, hosting stuff. They seem to, like, get behind stuff better than any city in the country.
I was surprised at how they turned out for the NFL draft.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. This is to watch people get picked, selected by a team.
Yeah.
And you would have thought it was a Super Bowl.
Because it ticked off the, like the bridal parties and everything they were having.
Oh, yeah, they didn't know. We weren't expecting all this.
Yeah, and suddenly there's just all these, like, football fans that are all over the place.
Hey, but to be bitter old men, they could now have SEC Media Days in Bristol, Connecticut, because that's what it's all about. It's just big TV show on ESPN, right?
Yeah, and the SEC
Network.
And
the SEC Network. Maybe they have it in Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's where the studios are. That's what it is now.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's become. They've got basically these miniature TV studios set up in the Winfrey Hotel in Hoover. I guess it'll be at the Hall of Fame when it's back in Atlanta, and I don't know where it's going to be when it's in Nashville. I don't think they announced that yet. Or I
guess wherever they had the draft, maybe, or same area.
Although the draft is just out in the street, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah.
I know there was plenty of fans. It rained, too, right? And they still had a bunch of fans.
It rained, and also, like, no Tennessee players got drafted, but they still turned out in Nashville for that.
They knew that was going to be the case anyway, right?
Yeah. So, but other than that, it's been a weird, because every coach that was there last year is back, so there was no offseason turnover in the coaching ranks in the conference. There's really no huge controversies that anyone's got. It's just we're gearing up to get the season going. But, and I guess that's what's made it for a mostly low-key event. I guess just about every coach got asked about the transfer portal at some point. And Saban and Kirby both got asked about how Saban's never lost to an assistant.
Saban did have a kind of an interesting couple of comments about he thought he was basically saying how his assistant coaches might have checked out a little early last year. Did you catch that?
Well, I caught the part, and I didn't say I read some of the transcripts that they put on the SEC's website, and I did catch the comment about how they had distractions leading up to that championship game, but I didn't see where he really specifically
call anyone out, but you can maybe say who he was talking about. Because, well, Mike Locksley is now the head coach at Maryland. And, so he was the first one that came to mind. But then he also made a point of, you know, if all these coaches are, you know, basically the same, if everyone says I'm a tyrant and the way I work and what gets done, you know, when they're an assistant under me, you know, why do they always leave here and basically do the exact same thing, you know, try to basically mirror what we're doing here at Alabama.
Yeah. Why? Because he was directly asked, like, are you hard to work for?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was his response to that.
Yeah.
It was like, well, at first he said, like, well, I don't know. You got to ask those guys, I guess. I think, well, like, the reason you're being asked that is because I think those guys have hinted that you're hard to work for,
yeah, and not a whole lot of fun. But he does make a good point. He's like, well, they leave here and they go to their job and they – basically mirror what we do here.
Yeah, they want to be like Bama.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what
we're seeing here in Athens.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Kirby was kind of brought to do. It's like, hey, you've been there working for him for a long time now, and even before at Alabama he was working with Nick Saban.
Yeah.
So do that. And the results the last 2 years have been pretty close, except until we get to the game against Alabama, where Saban is 16-0 against his former assistants.
You know, that. So who will he – hopefully – well, I say hopefully. Hopefully Georgia will be in the SEC championship game. And if it is against Alabama, how many – let's see. So how many former Saban assistants – in other words, how many former assistants is Saban facing this year?
Muschamp.
Okay.
Jimbo. Pruitt. And then yeah,
is that it?
Yeah, three in the regular season that we know of. Hopefully there will be a fourth.
Unless, like, Western Carolina's coach or something. But I don't know.
Yeah.
But So at least four?
Well,
is that right?
Three in the regular season.
Okay, three in the regular season, and then hopefully...
Hopefully a fourth.
Fourth. Or, actually, hopefully, to be honest with you, would you rather Georgia make the SEC championship game and not face Saban, or make the SEC championship game and face Saban?
I'd rather play someone else.
Yeah. I would, too.
And that's it's weird because I sit here, like, we've lost those two games, and they've been horrible losses, but I also... It's not like I think Alabama's better than Georgia. I think we can beat them, but I guess I would still rather face somebody else since we haven't beaten them yet.
Well, here's what I know. In the in that building, Georgia has played two SEC championship games under Kirby and in a national championship game. And what has happened? They're 0-2 against Saban and 1-0 against non-Saban.
Yeah. Yeah, the question is just like really picking out, I mean, who else in that West could really get there? Over a 12-game season. It's not to say, like, A&M couldn't beat them when they played, or LSU couldn't beat them, or even Auburn, but it's just, is Alabama going to lose more than once? And even if any one of those teams does pick them off, is that other team not going to have multiple losses at some point during their season?
Right.
So, it's just, I mean, they're going to be there. There's just nothing. There's no way they do any worse than 11-1, especially the way their schedule's set up, where they've got bye weeks or Western Carolina in front of their three toughest games.
And that's the thing, too. Their non-conference schedule is terrible.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
So you're right. The way things are set up, yeah, they've got bye weeks or an easy game in front of their tough games.
And when you think, like, all right, Auburn plays Oregon. Texas A&M goes to Clemson, LSU goes to Texas, and Bama's playing Duke. That's embarrassing.
And honestly, it's showing you that this game has jumped the shark. Or is it that no one will play them? Because to me, like next year with Georgia playing Virginia is the same thing as Duke playing Bama.
Yeah.
In this game.
Yeah, so, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. You got like two of the top three or four teams in the country playing a middle to bottom of the pack ACC team.
Right. I mean, what is Bama's like a 30-something point favorite,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
we'll probably be like a 20, at least a 24-point
yeah.
favorite
yeah.
a year from now.
It's kind of the same thing. And maybe it's the fact that the Chick-fil-A Classic, they want Bama, they want Georgia, even at the cost of no one else wanting to play them, so they have to settle on another team. I don't know.
Yeah. You would think, because our game's going to be that only game on Labor Day.
It's Monday night.
Yeah, you would think, like, TV would say, like, yeah, we don't want that. We want something better. Georgia's just going to squash those guys.
Would you be in favor – I know the SEC probably wouldn't do this. So, North Carolina and Wake Forest are playing
a non-conference
game this year.
Yeah.
Would you like to see Georgia do that with a team in the SEC that they wouldn't be, one of the West teams?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if it were Arkansas?
Oh, yeah. Well, they should be in the Sun Belt anyway. But, but yeah, because
– I think that's kind of a cool idea. I don't know that the SEC would – I like the fact that the ACC is letting Wake Forest and North Carolina do that.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, I think the SEC should just go to the 9-game conference schedule, but they're not. And so, you know, you've got this situation where it hardly feels like a conference because there's so much of a gap between the years that these teams play each other. So, you know, like, yeah, if Georgia and Ole Miss would play each other more often or even Arkansas or any of them.
And the reason I said Arkansas is because, you know, right now they're the bottom of the West. So even if you scheduled the worst team in the West, it's still better than Southern Miss or Arkansas State or, Middle Tennessee or any of the FCS opponents.
Yeah. No, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
But
I don't think the SEC will do it.
No. And, I mean, no, what schools would agree to even do that or the coaches?
Because it's so weird. I know we play A&M this year, finally. But they've been in the league for so long, and still they haven't played. And then Georgia won't go out there again until 24.
Yeah, after we go to Oklahoma.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So we'll go there first. But yeah, throw A&M in there. Hook, they feel like a, they don't feel like an SEC team anyway, so might as well schedule them as a non-conference game.
Although they feel more like an, well, at least having been out there a couple of times, it feels more like an SEC team than Missouri does.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They will fit the profile a little more.
And how, so when Georgia goes out to play A&M in 24, the Dogs will have played Missouri like 12 times.
Yeah.
And that'll be the second time they played A&M.
Yeah, and only the first time they've gone out there.
Yeah.
When they've been to Missouri at that point like 6 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where it's like, all right, let's check this a little bit.
Yeah.
This is not right.
So, I like that North Carolina and Wake Forest have
I do too.
Have done that.
And it's on a Thursday night.
Thing about our schedule this year is Arkansas State might be better than Arkansas, so I'd be all for trading them. That is like, that Arkansas is, that's just, that's like a Sun Belt team right now that is taking up residence in the SEC. And I look at them and I don't see any hope for them. Their two easiest games this year, they have to play on the road. They play Ole Miss in Oxford, and they play Kentucky in Lexington. I don't see any other game they have a chance to win except those two, but they're on the road.
Yeah. And what would you say to them giving away an extra SEC home game? Because their game against A&M in the Jerry Dome, this is their home game, or this is the year they would be the home team, but – they're also playing Missouri in Little Rock.
Yeah, because they play two conference games in Fayetteville.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not the first one's not until like October 19th.
And Logan said when he was at Media Days earlier this week that he talked to a couple of Arkansas people about that, and their fans, they're not happy with that, that they've got two SEC home games in Fayetteville.
But yeah, because then the rest of their home schedule, if it's just in Fayetteville, they get Portland State, Colorado State, San Jose State, and Western Kentucky.
It's brutal.
So they're paying whatever they're paying for Auburn and Mississippi State.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
That is brutal.
Because I'm not – like Fayetteville and Little Rock, that's – they're
– is that like about a 2.5-3-hour drive?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's actually closer than I thought. I was thinking it was more of like the gap between here and maybe say like South Georgia or something.
I'll look, but I was thinking it was yeah, it was about maybe 3 hours, maybe a little less, but I will find out here. And the answer to that question is, oh, hang on a second. It's 8 hours to Fayetteville, Georgia. Hold on. Let's try Fayetteville, Arkansas, and see what happens there to Little Rock, Arkansas.
Arkansas might start playing in Fayetteville, Georgia to help Cruton.
That's true. Hey, why not? All right, I'm failing miserable at this. I'll have the answer on the other side of that.
Well, at least it is Thanksgiving weekend, so that helps. I mean, it should be a holiday.
Yeah,
for
that's
everyone,
right.
But
so
still.
It's the and maybe that's the thinking on that too. Is it's the Fayetteville or sorry, 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Oh, okay,
50 minutes. So
it's not as far as I thought it was, but
Little Rock may be closer to Memphis, right, than it is to
I think it is
to Fayetteville.
Yeah.
So, hey, what do you that's just a bad – because didn't – Brett Bielema was like, when he took that job, he was like, wait a minute.
Well, they used to play –
we're playing twice in Little Rock?
Yeah, so he got that done. And then they went to – I thought we were the last SEC team to play them in Little Rock. So this is the first time in a couple of years they've actually played a conference game there.
Yeah.
They've been playing non-conference games there.
Right.
But
and by the way, it's only 2 hours from Little Rock to Memphis.
Yeah, so it is closer.
Yeah, it is closer.
All right, it's the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen.
Here's your deep dive into Arkansas scheduling.
Yeah.
That's what you tune into the Crossover Podcast for.
Well, it's just a hopeless team.
Yeah.
In the, you know, taking up a spot in the SEC, but they are they're horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points. Of course, you could subscribe to us on iTunes and catch us there whenever we post a new episode. We will just we'll appear, or you can listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com. We will pause, and on the other side of that brief pause, we'll come back and talk a little Falcons as they get set for training camp, which starts, we're recording this again, on Thursday, July 18th. They start training camp Monday, the 22nd. It's the Crossover Podcast on 960theref.com.
true Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along, because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens, and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
Episode 95, the Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, also in Five Points, the new location in the old Waffle House building there in Five Points. Chris and Dave with you as the Falcons, that's another, the NFL season's about to get here with training camp set to get underway. They play in that Hall of Fame game, which, as we mentioned earlier, is, as we record this, 2 weeks from tonight on August the 1st will be the first NFL game of the season. That game does always, we're all like, all right, I'll watch like the first couple possessions because it's the first football game since the Super Bowl.
So will like Matt Ryan even play?
I doubt it.
Will,
do you think Julio will play?
Yeah, Julio, Joe Flacco. Will we get to see a lot of Drew Lock?
I guess we will see a lot of Drew Lock.
I mean, or is it more of the third stringers even that play in this game?
Yeah, Lock might get the starters treatment where he gets a possession.
Yeah.
And then he gets yanked. Because it is like the both teams still have – they play five preseason games. It's
right.
Not like this counts as an extra as one preseason game and there's only three others. It's an extra preseason game, so the teams have to deal with that too.
This list I'm looking at says the Falcons' second string quarterback is Matt Schaub.
Right.
I wouldn't even play him in this game. And then Kurt Benkert.
Okay, yeah, let's see him.
Let's see Kurt Benkert.
Yeah.
Who I had to look up, ended up at East Carolina. Does that name even ring a bell?
No, I'm not even familiar with
and
that.
And then Denver's third string quarterback right now is Kevin Hogan, who went to Stanford.
I remember him, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, this is in a magazine I'm looking at that was printed a couple of months ago, so this could even be old. So I don't know. But you may get to see a lot of Kurt Benkert and, I don't know, Ito Smith. Does Ito Smith even play?
No. He's coming off surgery.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if he were healthy, would he even play?
Yeah, Kurt Benkert is still – he's the guy.
Okay.
for the Falcons.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah. We'll see.
Do you have the running backs
in
front
of you? Yeah, we got Kenyon Barner.
Yep.
Formerly of Oregon, the guy that they
Kadri
Ollison, who they drafted out of Pitt, right?
Yeah,
Brian
Hill,
yeah, who's okay. Been on their practice squad.
And was he the one they drafted from Wyoming?
Yeah,
okay,
2 years
okay.
ago.
Yeah,
and then Tony James Brooks.
No, Tony Brooks James, or is it James?
Yeah, you're right, Tony Brooks James.
James Brooks. Now, if they had James Brooks, that would be awesome.
Yeah, they shouldn't play him in the Hall of Fame game either.
That's true,
if they
but
did.
Then again, he's like in his 50s.
Yeah, so Tony Brooks James, yes. that's the Falcons. And then the receivers, let's see, Marcus Green.
Russell Gage?
Russell Gage.
Okay.
We won't see Sanu, Jones, Hardy, or Ridley.
I guess the bigger question is, instead of the skill players, what about some of these offensive linemen that they drafted to
guys should play.
Yeah, Chris Lindstrom and who's the –
McGarry,
yeah.
Caleb McGarry.
Yeah. I mean, those guys need reps.
Yeah. You figure that's the Falcons, the right side of the O-line is going to be two rookies.
Yeah. And then who's the – let's see. They also brought in the guy from the Jets.
Yeah, James Carpenter.
That's right. That's right.
And then they got the Jamon Brown.
That's right.
Who was with the Rams and Giants last year.
So basically Jake Matthews and Alex Mack are the only ones back from last year.
It's a completely rebuilt O-line now.
Yeah. Your thoughts – because I've heard you say this before too, that Sark got picked on a lot, but – Ryan's numbers last year were still really good with Sark.
Yeah, it was the second best quarterback rating he'd posted in his career outside of the MVP season, so he did still have a good year. I mean, really, a lot of why Atlanta fell apart was all those injuries on defense.
Yeah.
Losing Deion Jones, losing Canoe Neal. So, you know, it ended up taking its toll because Atlanta's depth defensively is not good. I mean, really, the Falcons linebackers, after Campbell and Jones, right now you're looking, I guess, at Foye Oluokun is the third linebacker, and he's in his second year, and they drafted him out of Yale.
So, yeah, that tells you something right there.
Yeah.
Does that mean – so does that – you know, getting Neil back – I know Deion Jones played the last five games and did really well in those five games, but I mean, it almost feels like you're getting kind of like some extra draft picks that have experience.
For sure.
But where does it put them defensively in the NFL? Are they still in the top half of the league?
Or maybe like right around
right
the middle?
In the middle of the league defensively, where without the guys they were missing last year, they were a mess.
They were terrible. And, you know, and how much are we really hoping that, okay, yeah, Vic Beasley is. He's going to get back to that form that he had the year they went to the Super Bowl.
It sounds like Dan Quinn may ride or die with him, you know, because he's replacing the coordinators. In fact, they replaced the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and special teams coordinator. So everything got changed up, and now Quinn handling the defense, and he's kind of said that Beasley is – guy he's going to get right or whatever.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Yeah.
I do think the defense is – I mean, Dan Quinn's going to get better results out of that defense than Marquand Manuel did too. I mean, it's certainly an upgrade there. I don't know about necessarily with Dirk Cutter. At least he's been the Falcons OC before, so there's already familiarity there with Matt Ryan, which should be a smoother transition. I get, you know, the big thing with Quinn is just handling the duties if you're the head coach and you're also the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like with head coaches that handle stuff like that, you see more of it where, like, it's an offensive guy who might call plays. I mean, I can't think of, like, too many guys that are just hands-on with the defense like that's also a head coach.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. But I guess this is it, right? I mean, if it doesn't go well this year, then there's no one left to replace except the head coach and try again.
Yeah, and maybe even it's the end of Dimitroff too, because he's kind of in that same boat where they took Beasley, and I guess together he and Quinn both decided, like, well, if we just let him walk this year and don't exercise that option on his contract, we're basically admitting that we were wrong about a guy they just drafted in 2015.
How does the schedule set up for them?
I like it, the fact that the Falcons play every game except three in a dome.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't play their first, non-dome game I'm trying to say. Yeah, it's late in the season.
Because there are only three.
Is it Tampa?
Tampa, Charlotte, and San Francisco are the only three they play.
And those are all, let's see, they go to, they go to Charlotte December 8th. I'm looking at it backwards. So they go to Carolina on November 17th. And they go to Tampa the last game of the year. And what was the other one? Tampa,
Charlotte, and San Fran.
And San Francisco in week 15. So, yeah, they're all late in the season.
Yeah, so weather shouldn't even be an issue for any of those. And you get all those games in domes. Looking over it, talking about the Falcons' offensive line, that first game against the Vikings, they had one of the best front sevens and pass rushes in the NFL. Then the Eagles in week two, I mean, they exposed the Falcons' offensive line woes the first game of the season last year.
Yeah.
So you do kind of have some decent defensive fronts and pass rushes to have to deal with early on in the year. But overall, the fact that you got a dome team that doesn't really have to worry about the elements and a potentially high-octane offense, I think it definitely sets up well for them on that front.
It's hard to believe that, let's see here, that's two. I know we're recording this on Thursday. 2 weeks from tonight, 2 weeks from today, the Falcons are actually going to be, they're going to televise one of their scrimmages. Is this essentially what it is?
Yeah, and I'm trying to, like, who's, normally the teams in the Hall of Fame game have, like, a guy going in. Like, who's going in? Is Tony Gonzalez, I think, still counts more as a chief, right?
Yeah, he's already in anyway, isn't he? Or is he going in
now? I think he's going.
Oh, he's in this one? Okay. Yeah, I have no idea. I do not know the answer to that question.
Because Morton Anderson went in last year, right?
Champ Bailey.
Champ's going in this year.
Yeah.
Ed Reed is going in. Oh, yeah, Champ, see, that's the thing. Champ's going in with Denver.
Yeah.
But that's where I don't see where the Falcons' connection is. Because it should be unless it is, they can't play the Chiefs and Broncos, can't play each other in the Hall of Fame game since they're in the same division.
Yeah.
So since Gonzalez played for Atlanta, and the Falcons are up there. But I don't really consider Tony Gonzalez a Falcon. He's more of a Chief to me.
Yeah.
Than he is a Falcon.
That's the only connection, though.
Yeah.
It?
I mean, or put Baltimore in there because Ed Reed's definitely a Raven.
Well, you know, that's true. Champ is from the state of Georgia, so maybe he covers both
covers
teams.
Two, all right, yeah. Could be that, too.
I don't know. He did get to a Super Bowl with the Saints, right?
Champ did?
No, isn't that right? Champ. What was the Super Bowl that was played in New York?
Oh, that was Denver and
Seattle. Oh, okay,
Seattle.
It was Denver. I'm sorry.
He was in there with them.
That was Denver. That was okay, yeah. Okay. But did he – did he finish with
– I think – I do want to – I think you're – he
might have like
gone
He's like one of those
else.
Guys yeah. that, you know, like I've got that football card with Johnny Unitas wearing a Chargers uniform.
Yeah, and they're like Namath ended up with the Rams.
And I got a OJ card with the 49ers.
I feel like you're – he might have signed
Maybe
somewhere,
he,
but he never played –
He never played for him. That's
with
what
anyone
it was.
Other than Denver.
That's
but
what it was.
I think you're like – Well, yeah, he signed with the Saints.
Okay, he did sign with them.
Yeah.
But did he ever play for them?
No.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know what? That's just as well.
Yeah, Denver cut him after 2014, and then the Saints signed him, but he never played.
Okay.
So well, he good only for him played, not playing
exactly,
for the Saints.
Exactly. So he played for the Redskins and the Broncos, and that's it.
And he might have taken a little bit of the Saints' money. But never played for him. All right, there it is.
Good for him.
Episode 95 of the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen as football is getting closer and closer. I'm gone next week, but Dave will have Jeff in here for another crossover event.
What should we talk about? Tech.
Ask him if we're going to beat Tech.
And just see where it goes.
He was at the beach like 2 weeks ago. And I get this text one morning. I'm seeing a lot of Tech stuff down here. And I just had to, like, text him back the scores from the last 2 years. It's like, you shouldn't even be worrying about that while you're on vacation.
It's impossible for him to enjoy it.
Yeah.
He can't. It's just not in his DNA.
And it just gives them way too much credit than they deserve for being a threat to us. I was thinking the other day, like, with this week of SEC Con, like, honestly, like, Georgia can win the national championship, so every game the Dogs need to win, of course.
Yeah.
But we really need to beat Florida.
Yeah.
And the difference between Florida and Tech to me is that Florida is like a genuine threat. They could actually beat us. Tech cannot. But Florida's the game, and we have to beat those guys. We can't go down there and lose with all the nonsense that's been going on this offseason.
No, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be good. But I still like the fact that Georgia's only, what, a 3.5, 4-point favorite?
The last number I saw, it had blown up to like 6.
Oh, it's gone up.
Yeah, so maybe the sharps are on the Dogs.
They're like, okay, this one is one where you got to get on Georgia.
Yeah. All right, so look out next week. Jeff and Dave will have.
Would you take Florida if it got to 7?
Whew. Probably not. I think Georgia's going to go
Still
and stomp them again. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to keep interrupting you. What about 8? 9?
Maybe once it got to double digits, then yeah.
Our man T would take the Gators at 10.
At 10, yeah.
But then that would be that bad. 10 doesn't cover. They win straight up. So
yeah.
You have to watch out on 10.
I think
10.
That's where that Notre Dame number is
oh,
right
boy.
Now.
Oh,
right
boy.
At 10.
Oh, boy.
All right, the Crossover Podcast. Again, look for us on iTunes. Subscribe there and download us. Or you can listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com. For Dave, I'm Chris. Episode 95 is in the can. It's the Crossover Podcast. Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and Five Points.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.